Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 258 of Her, the podcast where you're going to hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her frugality. Say what? Frugality? What happened to that Chanel bag? Oh, it's not going to happen. Well, maybe, kind of, sort of. We'll have to talk about this, girlfriends. All right. Now, look, we have a terrific show. I've been waiting to get this youngin' on forever. And so now we're going to have this episode that will be memorable. Pick up your little pens and paper and get ready to rock and roll. And just know before we begin that this fabulous episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on to smartypantsvitamins.com. All right, here's your first official reminder to click on iTunes after this episode, because we want you to rate and review the show. Why? Because I'm sitting around waiting for your feedback. That's why. I'd love to hear from you. So please, 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 how about a little bit of rate and review? Okay? We'll remind you a little later on, too.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life. It's all about her.
All right. It's time for her. So, I don't know, like I'm trolling Washington, you know, the Wall Street Journal. Most of you know that in addition to being a physician, I'm also an advisor to private equity. I am a Wall Streeter. So, I live in the Journal every day. And lo and behold, there's a little something there about frugality. Seriously, in the Journal. So, I couldn't help but do a little bit of due diligence to find out it's a thing. It's a thing. Frugality is a thing. And not only is it a thing, a very wise young woman has run with it and really turned it into a real passion. Her name is Jennifer Smith, or Jen, as we're going to call her from here on out. Now, who is Jen? Well, let's go to her Modern Frugality website and see what she says about herself. Hi, I'm Jen, personal finance writer and co-host of the Frugal Friends podcast. Yeah, she's got the podcast thing going too. And so it all started 2015. She and her very handsome bearded husband at the time, Travis, got married and were, yeah, $78,000 in debt between the both of them. Wipe the shock off your face. Yeah, you too. And then she found a way to be able to get them out of debt within 23 months. And then she was off and running. Next thing you know, she's a best-selling author on Amazon. She is not only the mommy to an adorable baby boy, I guess it's more than a baby now, it's a boy, and she is also now featured in the Wall Street Journal, Money Magazine, U.S. News and World Report, Women's Day, Business Insider, and more, because she just loves to be able to help people as a personal finance expert. I do have to tell you, Jen, that when you put the 10 things about me, some were just absolutely a scream. I just love it. I'm a senior Olympic triathlete. So the part that I got into was number 8. I love CrossFit. I am the worst at CrossFit. I don't talk about CrossFit. I like that. Okay, that was just about it for CrossFit. And anyone who's ever done CrossFit in their life, Jen, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, don't have me on if you're planning on talking about CrossFit, because you don't want to talk about any of my lifts or my running skills for that matter. But
oh my gosh,
I'll do it.
All right, so here's the good news. You know, you're really good at money, but maybe, you know, the running and athletic thing, not so much.
No.
That's okay. but that's okay. So, oh my gosh. The reason why this is so timely, you know, having you on right now, is that we're in the era of COVID. And people, whether they liked it or not, unless you're someone, you know, a Jeff Bezos who's just floating around, you know, making even more money, most people are sitting back saying, oh my gosh, There are so many things I have learned I can live without. Because guess what? You can't get to them. You know, everything from shopping and, you know, whatever else. I have one woman who just said, oh, hell, I'm just doing my own manicures from here on out. Can't trust anyone anyway. And et cetera, et cetera. What an interesting way to introduce frugality. Just have a nice viral global pandemic. I mean, so go to that place for a minute, Jen. Is that weird or what?
Yeah, frugality is having its moment right now, even if it's a forced frugality. But I think my job has kind of pivoted to make sure people don't have this idea about frugality, that it is deprivation and that it is forced. And then after things go back to normal, rebound into even worse spending habits than they had before. So that's where I've been pivoting to.
Well, how do you convince someone it's not draconian? What, frugality? You're taking things away and you're making my life no fun and on. So, you know, if you were talking to someone, say, you know, who just came up to you for advice and said, I don't know, man, you know, I'm so tired of living in debt, even if it's not like ridiculous, but it's debt nonetheless. And it doesn't feel good. How do you introduce and define what frugality is really all about?
Frugality is simply being a good steward of your resources. So mostly we think about that as being money, but it's also being a good steward of your time, which is the most limited resource you have. So it's saying no to things that you do out of habit or do because you feel obligated to make more time for things that really matter to you. And your schedule overall, taking away those things that you don't love. And so in a big picture, that could mean getting yourself out of a job that you don't love so that you can do something that is really meaningful to you. Well, that has a monetary component. So everything is kind of wrapped up into each other. If you're just trying to be a good steward of your resources, then that is true frugality. And what you get on the other side is a life that's not deprived. It's just devoid of clutter. And it's filled with everything that really matters to you.
Interesting. So one of the things I've noticed, and this just sort of occurred. I don't know if you've seen the latest issue of Vogue. This is the only magazine outside of my, you know, some of my science journals, but that I still get just because, you know, it's fun to flip through it. In the old days, which was about 4 months ago, when you were able to sit on an airplane and, you know, kind of, you know, look through it, or when I hit the Acela train on my way to New York or something to do a business meeting. And I looked at it and I was utterly shocked. The first thing is it's ridiculously thin. It's about as thin as its models. Okay. It was a very, very thin. I mean, there's like no advertisements in this thing. Number one. Number two, instead of having someone wearing a ridiculously expensive outfit, you know, a Lady Gaga, you know, half naked with some weird hat or something, you had a rose. That's all. And the rose was a photograph done by Irving Penn. And that was it. And the rest of the Vogue magazine really showed very simple stuff. There was nothing there that was ridiculous. And it actually featured frontline workers in their scrubs and things like this. And when you've been reading now, and Anna Wintour spoke to this in her intro, that fashion's having a moment. That suddenly, why are you spending that amount of money on non-sustainable clothing anyway? What do you think, Jen?
Yeah, I mean, so different people feel differently about fashion. And I'm not a huge fashion person, but I know plenty of frugal people that really love fashion, and even some that work from home and still love fashion. So it really comes down to, like, what do you value? And so if the things that you value maybe are you show your creativity through what you're wearing, then it doesn't matter, like, what you're making, what you're doing, you should be able to do that through, you know, the things that you're wearing. But it's about sacrificing other things that you don't value as much so that you can really show your creativity in the outlet that you want to. And then sometimes when you're, you know, looking for these outlets and trying to, you know, fit your budget around trying to meet what you think you value, sometimes you find out that maybe what you thought you value isn't what you truly value. Maybe you valued that at one point in your life, but you just haven't taken the time to reevaluate your values. So I think right now, a lot of people are reevaluating what they value and what they want from the future. And so I love seeing, you know, businesses and media having to come up with new ideas and new ways to do things. I love that they are being challenged just like we are, to kind of think about, okay, what do I want to be moving forward? And what do I want my identity to be?
You know, since we're all, you know, living on Zoom these days, it seems, what are you wearing, you know, on Zoom? Number one, they can't see very much of you. You know for a natural fact that from the waist on down, things are getting ugly real fast. You know, we got sweatpants, we got the usual, I think the ubiquitous leggings. And these leggings have been used a million other times and back and forth. But in many respects, if you read a lot of the literature about how people are feeling about this, especially after 8 weeks of lockdown, people are actually, as you said, Jen, reevaluating. Why do I need to continuously buy new fill-in-the-blanks, you know, pants, sports jackets, you know, dresses, whatever, when quite frankly, I'm kind of getting into the athleisure kind of looking clothes. In other words, very comfortable clothes, very Lululemon-ish, that you can kind of float around in and get a lot of work done. And who the hell cares what you look like? Kind of a thing. And it's redefining the fashion industry in that regard. So going to work, doing more and more people are going to work from home anyway, big discovery. And and a big residual from this. But let's step back a little bit. How in the heck did you figure out how to be able to drop $78,000 in debt and just get that off your plate? What did you and Travis do in 2015 to be able to make that happen within the period of just a little hair less than 2 years?
Yeah. So we weren't making big salaries. Actually, throughout those 2 years, Travis was unemployed twice. My full-time main job would only give me a max of 25 hours of work a week. And we bought a house. So we weren't, you know, making six figures. We weren't in these financially well-off professions. And we didn't, you know, pause our life just to pay off our debt. But what we really had, what really got us to the finish line so quickly was making that our one goal. So I'm a big fan of Gary Keller's book, The One Thing. And so basically it's saying when you focus your energy on one thing at a time, you can do it to a greater capacity and you can do it quicker. And so that's really what we did. We made paying off debt our priority. So everything we did outside of that had to fit around the priority. We would not have paid off our debt so quickly had that not been the case. And so, I mean, that was how I discovered frugality. I was not the frugal spouse before all this. Definitely, Travis still wins the award for most frugal spouse, bordering into cheap. But I realized, like, I could learn how to be frugal. And so, and that's what I really had to do. I thought I could just side hustle my way out of debt. But a few months into trying to do that, I got shingles. And the doctor said it had to be due to stress because I was 26 years old. And so I realized I could not hustle my way out. Like, I had to control my spending and get my budget under control to do this. And so that I spent 2 years plus working on that. And that's how we crossed that finish line so quickly.
Wow. Okay. I gotcha totally. And you know, that one thing, you know, it's interesting. What you're talking about is achieving your goal through a balance, right? So what mm-hmm. you're saying is there's nothing wrong with getting that, you know, super awesome, you know, piece of clothing, say, for instance, but what are you giving up? What are you saying no to? And what are you super deprioritizing to be able to achieve that goal? Give us some examples of how that worked in your life.
You have all the stuff that you're spending money on, and it's hard to figure out what stuff that you don't need or doesn't, you know, bring you joy. So one way I figured out what I could give up was I did no spend challenges. So I just went 30 days and I didn't spend any money on anything like personal or superfluous, like beyond bills and stuff. And I would just force myself to get creative if I did have a problem that normally I would solve with money or spending it, how I could do that for free or do without it. And so over the course of doing a few of these challenges, that's actually how I realized, like, I don't need a clothing budget. I don't really care about clothes. I, you know, work from home, so the leggings are on my pants. I'm wearing shorts right now, but normally I would. So I don't need to spend money or even put that in my budget. But I do love a good latte, and like not just one from Starbucks, but the fancy one from the small coffee shop that costs, you know, $11 that probably has alcohol in it. So I value that. And so that's something I want to keep in my budget. And that is how I kind of, you know, figured out like the things that I could get rid of. I think another thing was, you know, I said I wouldn't talk about it, but I really enjoyed CrossFit. I tried to go down to a lower cost gym and save some money there, but I didn't end up using it. So I got rid of that and, you know, picked back up that big check for CrossFit. So kind of gamifying the system was how I found out the things that I could get rid of, and the things that I refused to give up.
What are your hardest choices? Like in your life when you were, and what have you found in talking to people and writing about this? What are some of the hardest challenges in learning how to prioritize and reprioritize?
Oh, that's such a good question. So I think the habits that we have built up over time, and they seem, we've done them for so long, that they seem like necessities, but really they're just habits. So they're just ways we think. So I think one for me is, it's a scarcity mindset that I've always, grown up to believe like I'll never have enough. And so if I made money, I would either hoard it or I would spend it all. And so, I just had built that up into a habit. And so I thought there was no other way of living. It was either feast or famine. And so actually taking time to step back from my normal everyday routines and ways of living. And I think this has, you know, this time has actually forced a lot of people to do that. But taking a step back and being able to look at it subjectively, I think that was when I was able to, that was where difficult decisions were made, but it's also like how I could make difficult decisions, and like get through some difficult mind stuff, is just breaking up my routine and looking at what habits I had formed.
You know, it's interesting when people declutter their home. I mean, just in general, it's like, wow, how did I end up with 35 different salad dressings? half of which have expired anyway. Did I forget I even own them? What's going on? It's almost like you just sort of free fall. You just buy things. And I mm-hmm. think that there's also this little hidden undercurrent, tell me if I'm wrong, that I can have it all. I can have that, you know, super expensive coat, but I can also have, you know, this, you know, amazing bike that I really want, the $2,000 track. And I could also have, and you just keep going to this mindset that I can have it all. Cause you know something? I've got a job. I'll pay it off someday, blah, blah, blah. Have you heard that mindset?
Absolutely. I had that mindset. I really thought, and one of the initial reasons I did not want to pay off my debt was because I did not want to spend my 20s living under a rock. I had spent my entire childhood living lower middle class, and we weren't able to have things. And I realize now it's because, you know, my parents didn't want us to go into debt. But I thought that I deserved, as a college graduate, something better. But I realized I only deserve the things I can afford. And that was a big wake-up call to me. Like, if I can't afford it with the money I have, then I don't deserve it. I haven't earned it. Like, just the numbers don't lie. But yeah, so we see that a lot. And then we see our friends having the same thing. And we just think, oh, well, they can afford it. They can't. They probably can't. But they just haven't realized or woken up to the fact that just because you can finance something doesn't mean you've earned it.
That's a really important one-liner. That is super, super important. And, you know, it's this thing, it's almost a little bit of an entitlement. You were right. Damn it, I finished my college degree, and maybe you went to graduate school. I finished my master's in business, or I finished my master's in something. And so, you know, the world is my oyster. There's something you said, you know, on your website that was so terribly, terribly important. And that is, no one is taught, how to do this finance thing since they're children, since they're adolescents, since they're young adults. Who the heck is enlightening young people about this so that they could start laying down a strong foundation for everything from saving to investing, to looking at the future very differently, instead of spending everything that you can lay your little hands on. Who's supposed to do that, Jen?
It's really hard to say. It should be a combination of educators and parents. But unfortunately, I think what we don't teach children about finance actually teaches them about finance. It teaches them not to value it, to not see its importance, to not talk about it, to maybe feel shame or guilt when they're not doing as well as they think they should be doing. And so it's not one person's job to teach kids about finance. And it's not even, you know, curriculum or anything. It needs to be on both educators and parents to start conversations about money, to talk about it at the child's grade level, to just start teaching the value of money and open up those conversations so that we don't have as many students racking up ridiculous student loan debt, because nobody was, at that time, nobody was talking about student loan debt. And so, you know, now more people are. And so that is starting to improve, you know, lower the amount of student loans kids are taking out. But we need to start those conversations on other things like investing and emergency funds and impulse spending, just so kids can get an all around holistic education in personal finance.
So do you think millennials deal with this now differently than, say, people who were, you know, Gen X? Are they coming through a different time? Because, good God, they're walking away with student debt in the six figures, right? And yeah. Does that make you feel so hopeless? It's like, why even save? I can barely pay off my student loan anyway. Or where does that put you?
You know, I think every generation has had their own difficulties financially. So I don't think that millennials should feel hopeful about student loan debt. You know, we went through the Great Recession. There's been the Great Depression. There's been, you know, the 2000, the tech, you know, boom and then fall. Like, we've all experienced different generations, different things that would affect and do set back our finances. And so this is millennials' thing that is setting back our finances. And yeah, it's a lot worse for some than others, but there are also more opportunities to solve the problem than there ever has been before. So with more debt, there also comes more opportunities to make extra money or opportunities to save money, live frugally. It just takes intentionality. You have to really dedicate and commit yourself to doing it. But I hope that people will stop focusing so much on the burden of debt and find more of the possibilities for paying it off. Because if you look, there are so many opportunities.
And I love this. I love it because you're realistic and hopeful at the same time. And that's wonderful. So right now, everyone out there in her podcast land, I know you're absorbing all of this. You're saying, huh, what are my priorities? And could I use this challenge, what I love to call the COVID challenge, as an opportunity here to learn some lessons about maybe what are my priorities? This is a time to hit the pause button, the great pause button, and to reflect on all of this. And I've got a great way for you to do this. So Jen has a free checklist of 12 ways to improve your budget. And if you run on over to modernfrugality.com/checklist, that's modernfrugality.com/checklist, you'll be able to look at these 12 ways to be able to improve your budget, as well enjoy the rest of her wonderful website and all the resources, the blogs and all the rest of it. Because I really think that you're smart to do this, and you're smart to do this with as an intergenerational kind of approach. You're right. This isn't just about millennials or Gen Z or Gen X. Everyone's got their thing, whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, you still have to prioritize no matter who you are. So, mm-hmm. You know, I will more than happily give up a lot to be able to continue my worldwide travel. Of course, we need airplanes for that, and we're still doing the COVID thing. However, yeah. details, I digress. All right, but travel for me is just, I mean, it's priceless for me because I love to learn about other cultures. I love to immerse myself. So someone else may look at that and say, you know, it's not my priority. My priority is, you know, putting together a $5,000 garden. Okay, rock on, you know, but you got to know yourself. And I think that that's really, really important. And I think one of the most important things you do, Jen, with your work is you really force people to sit down and to really ask hard questions. How much do you really want that? How important is that for you? You know, where are we going with this? All right. And those questions are absolutely strategic. And I also like that you're not a Susie Orman type. I haven't heard, I know Susie very well, and she and I actually share the same book agent. And you know, she's got her own shtick and she came from her own world. I see you as doing it in a very different way. It's very smart. It's compassionate. It's witty. It's wise. You have a really nice voice to this. And I think that people really need to hear about your work. And so that being said, would you please run on over to Jen Smith's wonderful website, and that's modernfrugality.com. And then also check out her podcast, a fellow podcaster, at Frugal Friends herpodcast.com. Jen, I can't thank you enough for being on the Her Podcast. This has been terrific. And I know that we've given a lot of people pause to reflect. And I have to thank you for that, Jen.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I hope if we've inspired at least one person to take advantage of this time and use it for what it is, a time to pause and reflect and reevaluate, because you will probably never be forced into quarantine again in your life, hopefully. And so to just use this time to pause and rethink, I think that we've accomplished a lot today.
Yay, you go. And just keep it up. And whatever you do, just be frugal. And everyone out there, please take a minute now to hit iTunes, rate and review the show. I'm sitting here. I'm waiting to hear from you. You loved the show. You know you did. Admit it. I know I did because I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. Now, stay safe and stay well.